Okay, Celeste Iacoboni in the studio here, our featured guest. Her book just released, How Do You Pray? And we've been coursing through different readings around it. I just like doing the readings now, so I'm gonna go to Brother David Stendel Rast. There are bios on all these contributors, so I'm gonna save that. You'll have to get the book and read the bio if you want to know who these people are. But obviously, a brother is in some spiritual order of sorts. And he says, let's start with the definition of prayer, the most classical definition that you learn in Sunday school, quote, the lifting up of heart and mind to God, end quote. It's not saying prayers, obviously. It's not even an action doing this or doing that. It is an attitude of lifting up heart and mind to God. So start the other way around and ask, what lifts up your heart and mind? What gives you a lift? You might say, well, for me, it's fishing. Fishing gives me a lift. That's wonderful then. Fishing is your primary prayer, as long as you do it in an open-hearted way, as long as you let it do something to you rather than you grasping something with it. This is very often the case with people who go fishing. It seems to me, as I watch them sitting there fishing, that they're often just as meditative as people sit by the Ganges River without a fishing rod. I get the impression that the fishing rod is just an excuse for sitting by the river and meditating. I wouldn't be surprised if in many cases it was really a very deep prayer. But there may be something else that lifts up your heart and mind to God. Whatever lifts up your heart, focus on that. Ask yourself, how does that feel? And why does it come about? Very frequently it will come about because it raises in you a sense of gratefulness. There's that word again. If that is the case, then do whatever you do, not consider prayer what does not lift up your heart and mind to God. Gratefully, do it gratefully or joyfully or with an open heart or whatever the essence of your prayer is, then it will be prayer. Now, a couple of things. I used to fish until I got, you know, I didn't like, you know, killing the fish. Then you throw the fish back and then pretty soon I didn't fish anymore, but it was a meditation because I remember sitting there quietly. And there's an important aspect to this that we haven't really talked about, because God is part of all these prayers. You know, it's that three-letter word, G-O-D, that wars are fought over, that religions battle over. So I think we might address this here a little bit. I have before. How do you describe God? What is this? How do you commune and define the essence that cannot be verbalized? It said you can't describe God, and yet we have three letters that talk about this. What have you found in commonality with all the prayers and all the descriptions of God, or preceded the 6 years of your life as a ministerial person to discover, or not, what this is?
I grew up in the Catholic tradition until I was about 14 years old, when I realized there was so much more I needed to explore. God was too big for one religion. And when I started exploring these other spiritual paths, I stopped using the word God to describe this essence. I thought God may be limited to the God that I grew up with in my tradition. And I used all the other beautiful names that I knew and that I learned. And it wasn't until years later that I realized God was not a word that separated, but it was all-inclusive. So that little three-letter word includes all the beautiful names of God and your experience with this. I realized, to me, God, G-O-D, means grid of divinity.
I like that. And I like that's a nice acronym.
Very much like the prayer field.
Uh-huh.
Well, this has been coming up now, and there are other ones as well. People are really finding and being inspired with this G-O-D. And it is also like a finger pointing to the moon. Of course, that word isn't the essence of what we're talking about here, But everybody knows that word, so it's good enough to share what we're talking about.
Yeah, a good symbol. It's very Zen. Point, you know, the finger that points to the moon is not the moon, but the grid. I love it. Grid of divinity. I have one too. We haven't talked about love, so I want to throw this into the conversation because I think it's used in a number of the prayers. And I wrestle with this, you know, number of years. God is love, you know. What is this love thing we're talking about? And I think, and people talk about, well, I'm jumping ahead of myself because I'm going to read some Greg Braden here in a little bit and what he says about feeling. But I think that we need to understand love as a frequency or an energy. And one day I was playing with the letters, and I forget how it came up. Maybe somebody even whispered in my ear. But love is an acronym, L-O-V-E, for the law of vibrational energy, or law of vibrational essence. And it's an expanding, contracting, expanding, varying field of energetics that we, as co-creators, get to move through the being. And you know, we know of the chakras. A lot of people have studied these energy centers. And if we want to play, we can move this energy into the fourth center of our being, and that's the heart. And people bandy the name around, you know, love, and you know, what's your feeling of your heart, what's your heart saying, all that. But if we let that energy expand there, that's a prayer in itself. And all the masters and the saints who we know of, who we've read about, or who we've even sat with, the yogis, radiated a field of essence that people felt through their cells, and that's why they sat, and that's why they called them guru or idolized them, even to the extent of being addicted or attached, rather than eventually being thrown back into the self, as our mutual friend Steve Behrman or Swami Beyondananda would say, gee, you are you, guru, you know. So I turn this over to you for a little conversation about love in the life of Celeste, or anything that it brings up in terms of other readings or poems.
Well, we're developing a sense, a new sense. Our senses are really acute, but we're developing the sense of the subtle. And in that, a new language is emerging as a new spirituality is evolving. We are taking all of our traditions and the essence and beauty of these, as well as the scientific and the new discoveries about the quantum field and everything else that we're learning, heart math, we're learning how the heart works and how the coherence works. And we are in that emerging a whole new spirituality. And love is the ground of being, but we're limited in our language. I mean, we use love in so many different ways, and it's beautiful to see now how we are talking about it and feeling about it and sharing about it and walking this new path of spirituality.
Yeah, I, when you were speaking about, I'm glad you brought the science and quantum fields, and Greg Braden talks a lot about that. He's a mutual friend of ours, been on the show a number of times. But in your list here, and we may not get to the reading, but that'll just whet your appetite out there, is Amit Goswami, who's been on the show a number of times. Here's a quantum physicist who wrote a book, God is Not Dead. Of course, he goes on to describe it. I mean, if there is such a thing as the omnipotent, omnipresent, all-powerful intelligence, not personified necessarily, I think it's personified in us. That was the gift. God said, hey, you know, I've created something that makes human beings that have free will choice to some degree within reason on the planet to go forth and co-create with the energies. And Amit talks about that. So, you know, let's take another break here. We'll continue with Celeste Iacoboni.